Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, providing the financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Thrivent Financial. Let's thrive.
Shopping. America's favorite pastime.
I have an Xbox 360, a PlayStation 3.
I probably have over 100 skirts.
I have 3 iPods, an iBook.
It's pretty obsessive, but I will wait in line every time.
How long can this keep going on?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Today we're kicking off a week-long series, Consumed. Special coverage of America's collective buying binge. We've all had a hand in it. Consumption in this country has doubled in about 20 years. It's fattened the economy, but there are some hidden costs of our retail gluttony, as Marketplace's Steve Henn discovered.
My wife and I splurge on organic food for our kids. Our 3 girls drink 6 gallons of milk a week. We have fresh fruit on our kitchen counter every day of the year.
Would you like a banana?
And every morning, there's a feeding frenzy in my kitchen.
Mom, I need a spoon!
This insanity usually starts before my first cup of coffee.
I'm eating cereal right now.
It often ends with me scraping soggy bits of organic mango cereal out from underneath the kitchen table. But this morning was a bit different. I decided to track down every bite my kids ate and figure out where it came from. Within a week, I realized our simple breakfast had traveled the globe. By truck, train, ship, and even refrigerated jet plane. In fact, each bite of that hippy-dippy mango cereal traveled more than 6,000 miles before it ended up on my kitchen floor. This would have been unimaginable when I was growing up. Brian Hallweil is at the World Watch Institute and author of Eat Here.
In the United States, the average food item is now traveling about 1,500 miles from the farm to our plates. That's about 20% farther than 2 decades ago.
My kids' cereal's packaged in Oregon. The oats come from Canada, the mango from Mexico, and spices are shipped in from farms around the world. Our kids' yogurt, cultured in California. Our milk, bottled in Pennsylvania. But really, what's wrong with that?
Shipping food around the planet gobbles up a tremendous amount of energy.
In 2000, it gobbled up the equivalent of 242 million barrels of oil. That's more than 10% of total U.S. oil production. Food shipping alone spewed more than 200 billion pounds of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. And transportation's just the half of it. Much of this food has to be refrigerated every step of the way. At the Port of Philadelphia in the height of summer, 40-foot refrigerated containers are piled high above my head, each plugged into a thick electrical cable. They're full of frozen beef. It's 95 degrees on the docks, but inside those containers, it's ice cold. America's already the largest beef producer in the world, so why all this bother? Joe Menta is the spokesman for the Port of Philadelphia.
And it's kind of funny, you need the Australian beef, the New Zealand beef, cut into the American beef to get the fat content down enough so it can be permitted to be sold in American fast food restaurants like McDonald's and Burger King.
That's right. Trimmings from grain-fed American beef are too fatty to meet federal health regulations for hamburgers.
It's a perfect example of this sort of absurd, wasteful food shipping.
Instead of putting American cows on a diet, we ship frozen beef more than 12,000 miles by sea in refrigerated boxes. Every way you measure it, the numbers are staggering. Today, we import 33% more food than we did just 7 years ago, from coffee to grains and fruit. And the rest of the world is catching up. Global food shipping has increased almost 50% this decade. Hallweil and others believe this system's unsustainable. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Food, clothes, furniture. In the last few years, the goods we buy travel farther and faster than ever before. That chews up a whole lot of energy and leaves behind a whole lot of pollution. So is the consumer economy itself unsustainable? Commentator Robert Frank is a Cornell University professor and author of The Economic Naturalist. He says, not so fast.
It's no mystery we like eating our favorite foods year-round. The problem is, importing large quantities of food and other goods from around the globe contributes significantly to global warming. Does that mean our consumer appetites are destined to destroy the planet? Not necessarily. Take imported food. In recent years, environmental activists have been urging us to eat foods grown closer to home. From now till spring, they'll be eating only root vegetables or summer produce they've canned themselves. But most people won't make sacrifices like that voluntarily. The problem is, the consumer economy provides us no incentive to consider the environmental impact of our decisions. The price of lamb from New Zealand, for example, includes the cost of the fuel used to transport it here, but not the environmental cost the trip imposes on the planet. Fortunately, we don't need to transform human nature to do something about global warming. We just need to pull some familiar economic levers to change people's habits. The simplest solution would be a carbon tax that would force consumers to confront the environmental impact of their decisions. Such a tax would raise the price of fuel sharply. Stuff from distant places would become much more expensive, and most people would buy much less of it. I know what you're thinking. A carbon tax proposal would be dead on arrival in Washington. If so, our problem is not that we don't know how to make the economy sustainable. Rather, it's that we simply lack the political will.
Robert Frank is author of The Economic Naturalist. Tomorrow on Consumed, are we driving consumption or is consumption driving us? In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.